and
this is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Did Trump divide America? That's the question before us here today on Viewpoint. Did Trump divide America? A woman, an attorney, in Sedona, Arizona, a very liberal city, wrote a letter. A former Democrat, she wrote to Democrats in general. I want to share with you what she wrote. Dear Democrats, now I know you don't like President Trump. That's a given. So let's move on from that. How about the division of America? Do you really blame Trump for that? How about when none of the Democrats showed up for his inauguration? Don't you think that started the division? He hadn't even been president yet, and, except for Clinton and Obama, not one Democrat showed up. Is that when Trump divided America? Can you imagine if Republicans didn't show up for Obama's inauguration because they lost? Can you even start to imagine what would have happened? She goes on to say, how about when 19 minutes after Trump was inaugurated, the Washington Post declared, the impeachment campaign has started? Was that when Trump divided America? And how about when Nancy Pelosi ripped up Trump's State of the Union right in front of the world, showing complete disrespect for the President of the United States? Did that bring the country together, and is that when Trump divided America? And how about when America had to endure 3 years and over $30 million spent on trying to prove that Trump only won because of Russian collusion and not because America voted him in? And 17 Democrats did everything in their power to prove that there was Russian collusion and came up with zero. Was that when Trump divided America? I can't even start to go over the negative press, she says, he's received since his surprise win. Remember the donors like Bloomberg, who gave $27 million, Tom Steyer, who gave $17 million, George Soros, who gave $9 million, and many more that gave multi-millions to Hillary and wanted a return on their investment. Do you really think that donors give millions upon millions just because they love Hillary? No, these weren't campaign donations. They were investments into what Hillary had promised them when she became president. They were so sure she would win and they would be showered with huge returns. And when it didn't happen and they lost all those millions, they went all out to take Trump out of the office by any means possible. This Democrat writer goes on to say, did you know that 90% of the mainstream media and the corporations that own them are owned by or run by big Democrat donors? You can verify all of that for yourself. I did, she said. Since the moment Trump won, even before he was inaugurated, the mainstream media's reporting was 92% negative on Trump. But do you know why? It was those big donors that lost their dreams of millions of dollars on their returns that they were going to receive when Hillary was president. And they weren't going to take that lightly. They needed to punish Trump and those that voted him in. I've said this since the night he was elected. There is nothing the left won't do to take down our president, our country, and us. No longer how low they won't go to get their power back. And sadly, we have seen this every single day since the election. So this retired lawyer, Democrat lawyer, says, let me ask you this. Have you ever listened to Trump or appreciated any accomplishment or campaign promises he's kept? Have you ever gone to one of his rallies, or have you just closed your mind to anything he does? Please ask yourself the following questions, if you dare. What has Joe Biden done for America for the last 47 years that he's held in office? What did Joe Biden ever do for blacks when he and Obama were in office? What was Joe Biden ever done in his entire life to create a private sector job? What has Joe Biden done to help the American middle class worker? And let me ask you this also. Why do you think there are so many people tearing down statues or burning flags, beating up police officers, disrespecting our founders, and hating our country? It comes straight out of our schools that have slowly been tearing down our history. If there's a teacher out there, please tell me the following. Do you teach the truth that it was the Democrats that were the KKK? That the grand leader of the KKK was Robert Byrd, who was elected to Congress as a Democrat and served for decades, and that it was Hillary, Bill, and Obama that gave his eulogy praising him? That the Democrats fought the Civil War to keep slavery? That the inner city ghettos were created by Democrats to keep control of slaves after they were freed? That Planned Parenthood was founded in inner cities to control the black population? Is any of this in your history books, teachers? And let me ask you this as well. Can a student speak up when he or she disagrees with a teacher when they say that Trump is a horrible president or the Electoral College has to be eliminated? I don't think so. Well, I know a student that actually happened to. When the teacher said that it had to be eliminated because Hillary lost, and he stated the reason it should stay, she ripped him apart and gave the entire class a five-hour test and stated it was because he dared to disagree with her. Is that happening in your schools? Did Trump actually create that division? I'm only asking questions, and I'd like your answers, she said. President Trump and his entire family has been vilified, demeaned, and disrespected for one reason and one reason only. He won. Have you noticed the Democrats only throw tantrums and object to everything he does and have never once gotten behind him to make America the best it can be? Why is that? They can't afford to get behind him. He would win again. And they can't let that happen. And if he wins again, the Democratic Party will be destroyed, and they know it. Did you notice that the so-called cages the left claimed that Trump built to put illegal children in were actually built by Barack Obama for the very purpose of putting illegal children in? Was that all over the news when Obama did it? The very same cages, but the media was silent. And how about when Trump commuted Roger Stone's sentence and was demonized? But not a word when Obama commuted the sentence of 1,715 inmates, which included 330 that he granted on his last day in office. Did we hear even one word about it? Were the reporters even reporting it? No. Just look at the difference in the reporting. By the way, since Trump's been in office, he's commuted only 10 people compared to that of Obama. Is that reporting fair? How about when Biden and Obama allowed the H1N1, the swine flu, to infect millions of Americans before declaring it a health emergency? Was the press losing its minds and calling it the Obama flu and blaming Obama and Biden for the spread? No. Total silence. Compare this to the negative coverage that Trump got when he immediately halted travel from China. Then in February, Nancy Pelosi went to Chinatown and said, come on down, or when de Blasio in March said, ride the subways and go to Broadway. But those same people are blaming Trump for the spread of coronavirus. And a final question. What have the Democrats done to help make America the best, to get behind a president that works tirelessly to care about we the people instead of using us as political pawns? And what have the Democrats done for a people of color except for giving illegals more rights than citizens and having us to pay for it? If you haven't started asking these questions, maybe you should. As I said, my entire family used to be Democrats, but not one will ever vote for a Democrat again. They asked themselves the same questions, and the answer was clear. What's your answer? Who has divided America? We'll be back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Who has divided America? That's our question here today on Viewpoint, and we're taking a look at a wide variety of evidence and thoughts as we discuss the answer to this question. And it's not just one person that has divided America. It is a whole line of thinking. It's a whole line of radical change in belief systems. But it's being led by individuals, being led by personages. So who is dividing America? Who's been dividing America? Who's been dividing America over the past 30, 40, 50 years? And who's been dividing America over the past 4 years or 12? All of that here on Viewpoint Today. Now, before we go further, I want to give a little sharing with you concerning our weekend. Many of you knew that we had gone to Massachusetts to hold a breakfast for our listeners up there. We've been on the air on their main station there, WACE, for 20 years and have a wide range of listeners up there. And according to the Massachusetts governor, they're restricted to having 25 people in a room. Well, that put a real crimp on our situation. So our special liaison up there, Jody Blakesley, was able to locate a country club. That's right, a country club. And they had an outdoor space under a beautiful canopy, a permanent canopy, that would hold at least 60 people. And so we had 60 people show for the breakfast. Yes, even outdoors. Yes, even when the beginning temperature was 55 degrees and would go up to a maximum of 67 degrees by the end of the day. 60 people showed up when the limitation was 25. We were blessed, and so were the people there. It was an astounding time together. I just wanted you to know that. It was unbelievably blessed. And of course, we were able to overlook the gorgeous golf course during all of that time. Who could ask for more? But then the next day, we had been asked to speak at a large Russian church. Well, actually a Slavic church made up of Russians and Ukrainians and Polish and so on, all Slavs. Slavics. I've spoken there at least 7 times in the past. The pastor there has urged me to come because of their great concern about what is happening to the younger generations. Because as the people came over from communist Europe and Russia, they were looking for religious freedom. And they were looking for the land of the free that's becoming now only the home of the brave. And they've been very concerned because their young people, the last two generations, are increasingly being absorbed in American society, the liberal, godless society, the worldly society of that is becoming America. And the pastor says, Chuck, I think you can really speak into the lives of these young people. They will respect you. And so indeed, we have gone 7 times. But this time was unusual. And I want to share that with you because it would be encouraging, I think, to all. We spoke on a Sunday morning. Again, the limitations were 50% of their congregation. Their congregation on any given Sunday morning would normally be about 1,200. There were 700 approximately, my best estimate, that gathered there on that Sunday morning. We began and opened the time together by the blowing of the shofar, to woo, to warn, to prepare the way of the Lord, and then began to teach and preach from the book of Daniel, the book of Thessalonians, and so on. It was a precious time. Afterward, we gathered together for lunch with about a dozen folk, both young and deacons and so on, had a precious time, about 2 hours together, just chatting together. My wife had an opportunity to encourage and disciple some young ladies and to extend a visitation, a hospitality invitation to them. And then we had an opportunity to talk with a deacon and his wife and to talk about things that really matter in life. It was just a wonderful time. And as we progressed, they said, would you be willing to stay over after the evening service and meet with our younger generation, the last two generations, millennial and Generation Z. I looked at my wife and I said, that's why we're here, isn't it? And so we said, yes. Now, I want to share with you what happened in that Sunday evening service. It was beyond anything that we could ever have asked or thought, and we are still puzzled in one sense why this has never happened anywhere else in America in the past 30 or 40 years. Again, we opened the meeting with the shofar, the blowing of the ram's horn. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. So we talked about the last trump, but we talked about Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, what Paul had to say about the great falling away before the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, would be revealed. And I showed how exactly that is taking place. It has been taking place in our country. And how the young people are so caught up now, absorbed and being caught up like the frog in the kettle in that worldly maelstrom that is happening in our country and, yes, even in our churches. And then as we got toward the end, I shared with them one of the key marks of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, and quoted from Bill Gates and Microsoft's patent application that occurred March 26, the year 2000, with the United States Patent Office, to create a situation in which a virus vaccination would be coupled with a secondary vaccination of a nano dot tattoo-like affair that would be injected under the skin for the express purpose, not of fighting a virus, but for the express purpose of gaining dominion globally, worldwide, of all financial transactions. Getting rid of credit as we know it, getting rid of cash as we know it, and using a cryptocurrency or something like that in order that every man, woman, and child would be dependent on government control all over the world to be able to transact business, to purchase groceries, and so on. And then I said, let us pray. Just as simple as that, let us pray. And what happened next was both sobering and glorious. The entire congregation, then in the evening, about 500 people, fell on their faces. All of them, young and old, all of them fell on their faces and began to cry out loud, in repentance. At first, I thought perhaps it's a cultural thing. But no, I have seen them over the years. They might look like they're doing that for 2 or 3 minutes, and then it's over. But not this time. After about 8 or 10 minutes, I realized something is going on here that we haven't seen before. And I shared a word of scripture, and they continued on their faces, crying out to God for forgiveness and in repentance, young and old. Whether or not they spoke the English language, because I spoke through an interpreter. And it continued on. Another 4 or 5 minutes. The Lord put a simple chorus on my lips, and I sang it briefly. And they continued on. Another 4 or 5 minutes. No cessation. And then I was given another song to sing. And they continued on. It was at least 20 minutes, at least, that they were on their faces. Until I turned the meeting over to one of their own pastors to continue to pray with them in the Ukrainian or Russian language. Friends, the Lord revealed to me, this is what revival looks like. When I was young, I remember seeing events like this, in tent meetings and so on, where people would fall on their faces in repentance and cry out to God. But in the last 40 years, I've never seen such a thing. Not really. Not repentance for themselves. And I had hope. And am I sharing that with you? I hope it would give you hope. But isn't it interesting that it would begin with people who came from communist-controlled countries? We, the people in the United States of America, in our churches, just don't get it. Just don't get it. Maybe the Lord would raise up Ukrainians, Russians, Polish, Slavic people who have experienced and know the oppression of godlessness and where it ends up. They're desperate. Are you? Don't answer too quickly. Are you desperate? And by the way, what is dividing America anyway? At its root, what's really dividing America is godlessness, a rejection of the fear of the Lord, godlessness. There could be no unity without unifying in our fear of the Lord as a foundation. And that's why the psalmist said, "Unite my heart to fear your name." Unite my heart to fear your name. Now, if Joe Biden's heart was united to fear his name, why then would a Roman Catholic cardinal publicly declare that Joe Biden should not be allowed to receive communion in any shape or form? Why would he do that? Oh, he goes through religious motions. He wants you to know that too. But in reality, Joe Biden embraces what the Roman Catholic Church calls mortal sin. The most grievous of sins against human life, beginning with abortion. But that's not all. You see, these are the things that are dividing America. Not Donald Trump. He may have his quirks, and you have yours. We all have our quirks. Some of us smile more attractively than others. But is that how you vote? By how somebody smiles? Or do we vote according to what a person stands for and how they conform their behavior in our time, in recent history, to what they say they believe? And how closely then does it align with biblical standards? Anything else is divisive. Yes, you heard it correctly. Anything that disses God's word, anything that disagrees with God's word, is divisive. But even God's word is divisive. Did you know that? Jesus said, "I came not to bring peace, but a sword." What he was trying to say is, when I speak the truth, it's going to divide. Truth divides, friends. Real truth divides. So what is dividing America anyway? We have to make some very hard choices in the next 2 weeks. Are you prepared to make those kind of choices? This is Viewpoint. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
What is dividing America? What has been dividing America? Not just in the past 4 years, in the past 12 years, and in the past 40 to 50 years. That's what we're looking at here today on Viewpoint, and I'm glad that you've joined us. It's all, as always, conversation with conviction, talk that transforms, and a hope that it will bring conviction into our minds and hearts as we consider whether or not we ourselves are participating in divisive attitudes and behaviors and even beliefs that actually are dissing what God has said, dissing what Jesus has said, and therefore finding ourselves in disagreement with him. Because as the scripture says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? The answer is no. So what do you make of the fact that before the Antichrist comes, there was going to be a great falling away? A great falling away among professing Christians. That's what the Apostle Paul said. A great falling away. What are they falling away to? And what are they falling away from? Well, they're falling away from the truth because they're being attracted or deceived to something other than the truth, a counterfeit, but something that makes them feel better. Somebody that has a nice, warm, charismatic smile that makes them feel better. And so at a time when feelings have become our Lord and truth has fallen on hard times, facts become irrelevant. In fact, Joe Biden told us that publicly on television. That the facts were irrelevant. It's our feelings. That's what we need to trust. Not our faith and not our facts, but our feelings. So how do you feel? Okay, well, you feel one way today and another way tomorrow, or you may feel differently in the next 10 minutes. Feelings are totally untrustworthy. And they're untrustworthy at the voting booth. So what is dividing America? Before we go further, I want to just indicate to you that since there is going to be this great falling away among professing Christians, which means that as they fall away, there is going to be increasingly disunity in the church. Because many, not a few, many are going to fall away from the truth. Now, they still might be in our churches. Oh, yeah, in fact, Jesus himself said that the deception is going to be so great at the end of the age that, well, many will come in my name, he said, and deceive many. Now, if they're deceived, that means they're not in unity. You can't be deceived and be walking in unity with those who are not deceived, those who have not fallen away. And those who fall away are going to be deceived. They're going to be seduced by people, pastor and politician, who are going to tell them what they want to hear to make them feel good. and give them a nice, warm, charismatic smile. That's how it's going to happen. And the person that ultimately that will be ensconced in will be the Antichrist, the counterfeit Christ, the imposter. And that's why I wrote the book, Antichrist. How to Identify the Coming Imposter? Because he is going to come in with the appearance of uniting the world in a glorious redemption and salvation. Hope to the world. The Antichrist has come. Let earth receive her counterfeit king. That's right. And it's going to reveal that just because somebody purports to unite does not mean that they're doing something godly or good. In fact, it will be the greatest act of wickedness the world has ever seen and result in the greatest carnage the world has ever seen, all in the so-called pursuit of peace or unity. In fact, the prophet Daniel says that through the pursuit of peace, the Antichrist will destroy many. That doesn't sound too positive, does it? But people will follow along like the Pied Piper until they fall off the cliff, easily seduced and deceived. I urge you to get your copy if you don't already have a copy of that book, Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter. I urge you to get it today. $22. We'll put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. I've not come across a single person yet who has read that book and thinks they wasted their money. No. It's for you. Now let's move forward. Who's dividing America? Is it Donald Trump? Is it Joe Biden? Is it neither? Who is or what is dividing America? I want to use, by way of illustration, two articles that came out this weekend. One from the Jerusalem Post and the other from Israel National News, both dealing with the Jewish people. Now, there are Jewish people in Israel, about 6 million, and there are about 5 million Jewish people in America. So, fairly close, evenly balanced. The Jerusalem Post says that the majority of Israelis prefer Donald Trump over Joe Biden. Israel National News says that the majority of U.S. Jews favor Joe Biden over Trump, except for the Orthodox Jews who back Trump. Now, here is a division, friends, and I think this is an appropriate way to at least explore this issue of division. Who is dividing America? Is it Donald Trump? Is it Joe Biden? And why is it that the statistics are so dramatically different between Jews in Israel and Jews in America? Here are the statistics. From the Jerusalem Post, the majority of Israelis prefer Donald Trump over Joe Biden. 63% of Israelis preferred the re-election of incumbent U.S. President Donald Trump, compared to 19% who preferred former Vice President and Democratic challenger Joe Biden. 51% said that the election of Biden would harm future bilateral relations since they felt that Trump has a special relationship with Israel. 48% of the respondents in Israel thought that the American Jews' support for the Democrats is wrong. Now, that's interesting. Regarding ties between America and Israeli Jews, 47% of Israeli Jews said there is a rift between the world's two largest Jewish communities. You know what a rift is? A division. 12% of the respondents in Israel said there cannot be any reconciliation between American Jews and Israeli Jews. Friends, that's division. Now, how is that possible? Well, let's look at the statistics then with regard to Jews in America. Jewish voters are set to vote 75% for Joe Biden, 22% for Trump in America, except for one group, and that is Orthodox Jews. Orthodox Jews almost unanimously, 74% favor Trump. 74% of Orthodox Jews favor Donald Trump, compared to 75% of Jews in America who favor Joe Biden. This is dramatic. And why is that? David Harris is the American Jewish Committee CEO. He said the seeming gap between American and Israeli Jews who overwhelmingly approve of Trump is due to the shrinking interest in foreign policy among American Jews. In other words, the American Jews don't give a rip about what's happening outside this country. It's all about them. Well, that, by the way, is kind of the Democratic Party mantra. Me, me, me. It's all about me, all about my feelings. Hang the rest of the world. Forget what's going on anywhere else. Forget even Israel. Jews in America have almost no interest in Israel, if you can believe that, but it's true. Did Trump divide the Jews? No. Did Biden divide the Jews? No. They're divided between these two men according to what these men stand for. The Orthodox Jews stand for biblical authority. American Jews, by and large, don't give much interest in biblical authority. It's all about their feelings. That's Reformed Jews, friends. No biblical authority. So the lack of biblical authority in our country, yes, even among Jews, is what's really dividing us. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Who's responsible for dividing America? Why are we so divided? Well, what is dividing Israel? Israel's divided over Orthodox Jews versus non-Orthodox. The majority are non-Orthodox. And yet, the majority, 74% of Jews in Israel, Orthodox or otherwise, support Donald Trump rather than Joe Biden. Why is that? Why is it the 75% of Jews in the U.S. support Joe Biden and seem to hate Donald Trump? If you don't know much about Jews in America, it would be hard for you to answer that question. But the reality is, Jews in America are largely what is called Reform Jews. In other words, they are like the hyper-liberal, say, Unitarians in the Protestant world. Biblical authority means almost nothing to them. It's irrelevant. What is relevant is feelings and a kind of salvation that they call tikkun olam, which is redeeming the world without God. In other words, doing good works. Biblical authority means nothing, almost nothing. So let's look at what happens. What are the consequences to our country or any country when you have rejected God's authority, when you have rejected biblical authority and rejected the fear of the Lord? We're going to take a look at that in this final segment of the program here. Hang on to your seatbelt. This headline comes from Lowell Ponte, and it says this: the democratic demolition of America. Most Americans think of 2020 as a presidential election year, he said. But radical leftists, especially those who have hijacked and now control the Democratic Party, see this as a year of revolution for overthrowing the United States that they have been plotting for more than 100 years. In 1912, America's first progressive Democratic president, Woodrow Wilson, was eager to replace the so-called obsolete U.S. Constitution. It was he who created the progressive income tax, and it would establish the Federal Reserve to furnish an elastic currency or paper money to enable the Democrats to do whatever they wanted. In a 1912 speech, Wilson called for replacing our government-limiting constitution with a new house that utopian progressives wanted. Now, that is a political view. The spiritual parallel to that view is the same people that embrace political progressivism and hate the Constitution are also those that embrace liberalizing humankind from God's so-called restrictive requirements in the Bible. Now, how does that play out? How does that kind of thinking play out? Well, try this one on for size, if you will. A Democratic Party leader is vowing to lie, cheat, and steal to win. That's a quote. He was caught on undercover camera. A Democratic Party leader in Colorado says the 2020 election amounts to a revolution, meaning lying, cheating, and stealing are, he says, morally acceptable actions if they help bring about the defeat of President Trump. On what basis is it moral? Based upon his feelings? Christopher Jacks, a member of the executive committee of the Colorado Democratic Party, expressed his beliefs in an undercover video released by Project Veritas. Here's what he said: I am going to do everything morally acceptable to win. I will lie, I will cheat, I will steal, because that's morally acceptable in this political environment. Absolutely, we are pirates on a pirate ship, he said. Can you fathom this kind of dystopian thinking about morality? But friends, that's what's driving the Democratic Party. That's what is creating the division in our country. He said, I'm going to say it more curtly. 2020 is a political revolution. The Project Veritas journalist asked Jax what he thought about Antifa. He said, Antifa's great, man. When you got people marching in the street, running people over, and S like that, you get people firing guns trying to provoke S. Yeah, even people there that are willing to stand between them and ordinary people. Jack spoke about what might happen if Trump win re-election. He said, I'm going to be in my garage right next to my gun safe all night long on the 3rd. I take this stuff seriously. He said, if tensions escalate to a civil war, the left should call on like-minded military veterans. He said, listen, the left may need to assassinate billionaires. He went on to say, if you want to do some Versailles-S, if you want to do some Antifa-S, you really want to change this country that way with violence, then there's only one to do it, he said. He said, you got to get people that are close to billionaires and just start random billionaires start turning up dead. They just turn up dead. And just 3 or 4 of them, that's all it's going to take, said Jax. And it didn't much matter which billionaires are targeted, but Amazon's Jeff Bezos, he said, was at the top of the list. He said stabbing is a less effective method, suggesting the French Revolution staple, the guillotine. He explained that populist uprisings have power because we kill people. And he warned that moderate Democrats would be targeted along with Republicans. Friends, that's exactly what happened in the French Revolution. He said Joe Biden believes, however, we would submit to the agenda to the radical left. He went on to say, as long as there's progressive legislation that comes across Joe Biden's desk, I am confident we can occupy his house. We know where he'll live. In other words, we'll run and rule Joe Biden by force or threat of force. But look at the thinking. This is what the rejection of the fear of the Lord and the authority of God and his word looks like, friends, and it's driving the entire Democratic Party and their politics. A Democratic candidate in the battleground state of Minnesota has now come out and said her party's machine is buying votes in the Somali community. She ran for Minneapolis City Council and came amid Somali Americans living in the Twin Cities reporting evidence of vote buying, ballot harvesting, and intimidation operations by Democrats. In September, an undercover video investigation revealed a Minnesota-based source describes Representative Ilhan Omar, Democrat of Minnesota, as the mastermind behind a cash for ballots fraud, voter fraud scheme. This candidate released a 15-minute video of herself speaking in Somali, in which she expressed her anger over the many voters she and her campaign encountered who expect her to pay $200 for a vote. She said the local Democrats have taken advantage of the elderly Somali American refugees. They say that they can't vote unless they pay. So they kind of liked her, so she sent a van to pick up some of these elderly Somali voters, took them to the polling place, and these voters were told that their vote was worth $200, so they expected her to pay them $200 per vote. But then they said, we really, really like you, so we don't want you to have to pay $200. You can just pay $100. No integrity, friends. No integrity in the Democratic Party whatsoever. Zero integrity. It's all about the lust for power, no matter how you get there. Mary Gain, a history professor at James Madison University in Virginia, had a spontaneous social media reaction on the news She told the campus newspaper, "The Republican Party can die for all I care." Are you beginning to get the picture? Joe Biden's campaign desperately wants religious voters, particularly Catholics. Biden, after all, would only be the nation's second Catholic president, although given his interesting views on the sanctity of life, he may lose the Catholic vote and lose it substantially. But a Pew Research survey indicated 50% of American Catholics plan to vote for President Trump, while 49% tend to vote for Biden. Pew's sample consists of registered voters, not likely voters. Well, here's the deal. In 2013, Biden's select co-chair for his campaign referred to God as a white racist. Here's what she said. "God ain't good all the time. In fact, sometimes God is not for us. As a black woman in a nation that has taken too many pains to remind me that I am not a white man and not capable of taking care of my reproductive rights or my voting rights, I know that this American God ain't my God," she wrote. "As a matter of fact, I think he's a white racist God with a problem. This God is carrying a gun and stalking young black men." Her name is Anthea Butler. She has no intention of reaching across the aisle, friends. The Biden campaign knew that when it chose her to co-chair Catholics for Biden. Are you listening? Who has divided America? What is dividing America? When Joe Biden came out this last week and promised a mother he would ensure her 8-year-old would have the right to decide whether to have a transgender operation. Biden advocates gender change for children. He spoke it at the ABC News town hall last Thursday night. This is not a man, friends, who embraces God's authority. He doesn't even have the fear of the Lord. And he said, "I'll just flat out change the law." I'm not going to wait for anybody to vote for it. I'm just going to change the law. So now Joe Biden is declaring himself God, or the equivalent of it. There's no fear of the Lord. And then when Steve Scully, the C-SPAN personality who had been scheduled to moderate the now canceled second presidential debate, came out and falsely complained that his Twitter account had been hacked because of something that he had said that revealed his profound bias, seeing that he was a former worker for Joe Biden in his own Senate office. And it said, "No, not Trump, not ever." He had to confess when it was proven he was lying. What is this about lying, cheating? This is what's dividing America, friends. No integrity, because there is no love of the truth, because there is antagonism to God and his authority, and it has set the stage for receiving a counterfeit Messiah. Get your copy of the book, Antichrist. It's on our website, saveus.org. Become a partner, friend. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, and do it today.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.